characteristic of holiness is a kind of simplicity. And if that is true, then Jesus Christ should be utter simplicity of self. And the lesson that we're given in today's gospel about the Good Samaritan is certainly very simple. Love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself, and you will live. And it's a lesson that is in reach of each of us. And it's a lesson also that we can say summarizes the entire gospel. Now, some of us, I can include myself in this, certainly. Some of us often are not very satisfied with simplicity. And like the scholar in the gospel, we're tempted to pester God for clarifications. Like, well, really, who is my neighbor? Exactly when am I required to stop to help? And when you and I do that, it's amazing that Jesus still does not lose patience with us. He gives us the parable to explain what he means. And of course, we don't know for sure whether or not the events in this teaching parable, whether the events themselves ever took place. But he gives us other teaching helps and explanations. For example, and I think especially in the lives of the saints. We look at the saints and see how they, if you will, encountered and what they did in the particular circumstances they were in. Certainly, we have helps in the teachings of the church. And personally, in the various little nudges that we are given ourselves and our own consciences, and especially, or rather hopefully, when we get too used to our own kind of selfishness, which can create shadows in our lives, shadows that may not always appreciate the bright light of the truth of Jesus Christ. Now, but Jesus here gives us a very clear portrait of the Good Samaritan, and we can understand it perfectly in his own words, and he says to us, go and do likewise. The road from Jerusalem down to Jericho takes a traveler from one of the higher elevations in Israel to one of the lowest. And even today, it's a relatively long, winding, lonely, desolate road. The two travelers we heard about who passed by, they could have been heading home after weeks of duty at the temple. And in any case, the priest and the Levite, they evidently were in a hurry. It was truly too bad that there was a half-dead man there on the road, but someone else certainly would tend to the matter. They evidently did not have time. What's amazing is that the heretical Samaritan, who was definitely not a pure Jew, you know, he must have had his own responsibilities and duties. He probably had his own schedule to keep. He could have continued walking, but for some reason, he could not continue without stopping. Compassion for a fellow human being won over whatever reasons there would have been for which he shouldn't have taken time to stop. But in any event, he went out of his way. He essentially blew up his schedule. He may have spent money that he could not afford to spend, and then even planned to follow up a little bit later. I think this tale, the parable that Jesus tells us, illustrates a point that reflects a curious phenomenon observable today and in every age of human history. And that is that certainly good, dutiful, normally religious people who you'd figure would be most likely to help in this kind of situation, they could often be the very ones who use excuses, including maybe family obligations, appointments, to excuse themselves of responsibility of charity. Someone else will do it. I don't have time. Or this was taken care of at the office. I'd like to help, but my budget is already exhausted. I don't have any more credit on my card. And maybe some of us, if not most of us, at one time or another have had the personal experience of having declined to help out in a particular situation, only to learn later that someone who was in a much more challenging situation than we were took on the responsibility, someone we probably would not have expected to do it. And that causes some grief for one's conscience when we discover the reality of the situation. You know, it's stunning to remember that in the four Gospels, the only sneak preview that we are given of the final judgment is in Matthew 25. It shows people, and this is Jesus' teaching just before his ascension, shows people condemned not for murder, not for adultery, but for failing to do works of mercy. In other words, they were guilty of sins of omission. Now, yes, of course, good judgment has to be exercised. I mean, you and I are human beings within definite limits. We all have what we understand to be our own limits. We have limited resources. We have definite responsibilities in sync with our personal vocation. We ourselves, my guess is, we could not possibly meet all the needs of even everyone here in East Dubuque, let alone all over the world. Moms and dads, God does not expect you to neglect your family in order to try to save the world. And I think this is where the virtue of prudence comes in, and perhaps in some cases we may need some advice from someone who can help us out. It could be some spiritual advice, some sort of spiritual direction. But I would say that if there's a pattern in our lives where we see that we have a kind of an automatic knee-jerk reaction of no to requests for help, if we regularly judge that we're just too busy or we've already done enough, then it might be time for a realistic examination of conscience. Love, and we're talking about the agape love that God expects from us, is often inconvenient in terms of our own plans, our own schedules, and resources. True charity means that there are times when we're going to have to give out of our substance, and not simply out of our surplus. And as a result, then we are going to go without something ourselves. Real charity can hurt. And then we see how we connect to the cross of Jesus Christ, who is our own divine Samaritan. Now, here's a formula that will work for most of us in trying to fulfill God's will, I believe, that we go and do likewise, as Jesus instructs us. First, we can seek to carry out most of our daily duties and responsibilities with the right intention. So having the right intention in whatever we say we need to do and being honest about it is important. A mother running a household is being a good Samaritan to everyone under her care. Every worker or professional dedicates presumably hours every day to providing service to people who need it. They're being a good Samaritan. A young person, a student, who's faithful to his chores, faithful to his or her studies, the same thing. In other activities, they are forming their character and they are getting ready to go out into the world to serve their neighbors. Another second way to implement Christ's simple formula is to decide right now, being enlightened by the gospel, and then having been strengthened by Holy Communion, which we're about to receive, it's a suggestion that we look for an opportunity. Look for specific opportunities somewhere this week to lend a hand to someone in need. Now, it might be somebody in your family, might be just in your family, might be a friend or stranger, someone who needs material help, someone who needs spiritual help, And almost all of us can do that simply in our prayers. We won't simply walk by, but rather we'll do as Jesus tells us, to go and do likewise. One last thought from Pope Benedict on this wonderful parable. And this is from his book, Jesus of Nazareth, speaking about this parable. He says, "The vision of the church fathers sees mankind as alienated and helpless by the roadside of history." In other words, here's the vision the early church fathers saw us as the one half dead on the road who needed help, and God himself becoming our neighbor in Jesus Christ. We realize that we are all alienated from God, and we are in need of his redemption. We're in need of the gift of God's redeeming love ourselves, so that we too can become lovers as he loves us. Every one of us must first be healed and filled with God's gifts, but then everyone is called to become a Samaritan, to follow Jesus Christ and to become like him. When we do that, we live rightly. We love rightly when we become like him, who loved all of us first.